B-Pod Studios.
You need a firm which can match the other side dollar for dollar. Let us fight for you. There's only one Morgan & Morgan. Dial pound law on your cell. Pound law, that's all.
Offices, Philadelphia.
WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia. A Beasley Media Group station. Home of 76ers basketball.
Rebound slam, Ben Simmons.
Flyers hockey.
Drew scores!
And Farzetta in the morning.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
Plug in. 97.5, The Fanatic. Philadelphia.
Good morning, everybody. Mark Farzetta with you. Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan with you on this fine Thursday morning. It feels like the weeks are getting back to just flying by now. Does anyone else have that vibe? I don't know if it was vacation that kind of killed the momentum for me, but this week has flown by more. I can't believe it's already Thursday. Are you back?
Helps when you take off Monday.
Oh, you. Were you down the shore yesterday?
Yeah, I went back.
Beach bump? You drove down the shore.
To the Hamptons?
Yeah, right.
Oh, this is the other home? The one in Ocean City?
It's not our home. It's our cousin's house.
You guys own a teleport machine, right?
My door to the shore is only an hour.
You know, I once had an argument with a guy who didn't know what teleportation was. Well, I mean, it's not a thing, but...
Oh, no, it exists, Mark.
And he was just like, what are you, just making up stuff? And I'm like, wait, hold on. It's like in pop culture sci-fi. Like, people know what teleportation is. And he, like, argued with me that it was a thing. I was like, no, it's not real. But it's like, I thought everyone knew what that was.
Where did you get in this argument? At the local?
I was a young buck in the business. And some guy who was in our business department, you know, just thought he knew everything because he happened to be a few years older than I.
Uh-huh.
And I just sent him the thing. And he gave me that, oh, wow, you have a lot of free time on your hands. And I was like, no, I just know more than you. But anyway, this week is flying by, and I appreciate that. And I don't know why it's flying by, but I know during quarantine, I felt like every day, it was like every day was 5 days. We talked about that, Bob, where it just felt like it was just completely flying by. And I have that feeling again, and I got to say, I kind of like it. We got a lot to unpack today, as we did yesterday, and we're going to start off by kind of running through all those things that are at least in the suitcase that we're opening the suitcase and looking at right now. And the first thing is, I can't believe the shame and the shade that Kendrick Perkins was throwing upon Joel Embiid yesterday. And of all the things that we have been, hard on Joel Embiid over... Having hesitancy about playing in the NBA bubble, where apparently they're allowing you to eat, each player has to take one bite of one apple, and like that's all the food they have. of all the things to rip Joel Embiid for, having hesitancy about playing in the NBA bubble is certainly not one of them. Shake Milton even came out yesterday and was like, I don't think we should be playing, but here goes. Of all the things you should be unified on, a unified front as NBA players or ex-NBA players... Bob, don't you think that would be one of them? This bubble thing seems to be a bad idea.
Yeah, it's like the narrative now is to call out Joel Embiid on his toughness, and it's starting
it's
to grow.
Yeah.
You know, it started with the Shaq and the Barkley thing, and them saying like, "Look, we just want you. You should keep saying dominant. Keep doing it. You know, we'd love to see it."
Mm-hmm.
So now the narrative nationally is, "Well, is this guy soft? When he plays hard, he's really good." But so now Perkins jumps on it. But for the absolute wrong thing. I mean, I think if you polled every player going in there, I wouldn't be surprised if 90% of them said, well, yeah, of course I have some concerns, but we got to play.
Uh-huh.
And Embiid said, yeah, I got to go do my job. You know, I don't think it's ideal.
Yeah.
Are you supposed to lie and say, who cares?
3 million cases now in the United States that it's officially gone over.
Good job, us.
Oh, God. Again, I can't quote my buddy enough in Sacramento. Man, we're bad at this. Or no, we suck at this.
Yeah,
that was his quote.
Quite bad.
3 million cases now in the United States of coronavirus. In the last 3 weeks, you know how many cases there's been? How many new cases of coronavirus in the last 3 weeks?
A lot.
Of 3 million, all right?
I'll just guess 1.2?
1 million.
Okay.
In the last 3 weeks. Okay, so again, we're not that good at this, all right? Quite frankly, we suck. And then you read stories like Scott Kingery, who was in the best shape of his life, a professional athlete, and he's still having, you know, lingering effects, still trying to get over it himself. Then you see the stories about Rudy Gobert, still can't smell anything. Karl Anthony Towns' mother died. She's not in their demo, but still, it's in that stratosphere. Sure. It's in the NBA stratosphere. The Ivy League is canceling fall sports.
You know, that's all a these big one.
Avon Miller still saying that he's having breathing issues.
Yeah, Ivy League was the first one in sports to cancel
with their with the NCAA before the NCAA tournament.
Yeah,
the
Ivy League. Right.
The Ivy League's like, we're out.
They're
the smart ones. Like,
yeah, that's troubling.
The smart people. I mean, yeah, I'm not saying the smart ones.
Well, they lead. Yeah. They're the top of the totem pole in academia. And they're looking at it like, hey, how can we have other teams and other players onto a campus, let alone our own athletes?
Uh-huh.
Like, nah, we're good.
So, and Kendrick Perkins wants to get coronavirus shame?
I'll go with the 8 Ivy League presidents over Kendrick Perkins' opinion on COVID.
Where did Kendrick Perkins go to school? Did he go to Harvard?
I forget where he went.
Where did he go? That guy.
I'll have to look it up.
I don't remember. I don't even know. But here's the deal. This is the worst possible time to try to shame other athletes about whether or not they feel comfortable in playing in the bubble or not. This is the worst time to really shame athletes into, you know, I don't feel safe. Oh, you coward. Oh, you wuss. You pansy. Or another word that begins with P. Not the route to go right now.
Yeah, Perkins was a high school kid. I didn't know that.
Here I am college shaming. And I don't even mean to.
And it's not even that, like, can be, oh, I don't want to go. I don't want to. It was... Yeah, I'll go and do my job. This isn't the best of circumstances. Like, you know, I get on Joel Embiid for a lot of the things he says all the time. He didn't come close to saying anything wrong with his reservations about going to play in this thing. Not at all. I don't know what Perkins is jumping on, but I do. I really do. I think it's the narrative now, the national narrative of, is he soft?
Mm-hmm.
And if there's a slight, reason to believe he is, they're going to jump all over it.
I don't, but for this reason?
No, I know. Exactly.
If you want to go the in shape thing, and that's what we've done, and it's not even like he gets fat, and I hate even using that word. I know other people have.
No, it's basketball shape.
It's bad, exactly. It's what I said yesterday when we had, or the other day when we had D. Lineham and we had Sixers Day on Monday. It was basically, wow, that was already Monday. See, weeks flying by, Bob. But it was like, we were talking about how Joel Embiid's out of shape is like he's got a 6-pack instead of an 8-pack abs. Like, that's the difference. Like, he's still in pretty damn good shape. If you want to go that route, if he's in basketball shape, if you want to go the route of motivated, I get it, because we've all seen that in Philadelphia especially. But if you want to go the route of, wow, this guy doesn't want to play in the bubble, which, by the way, I did. In all honesty, Bob, I got that vibe. I got the vibe of he didn't want to do it, but everyone else was doing it, so he's doing it.
Really?
All the other teammates. Oh, absolutely. And then I hear Shake Milton come out. Like, of all the people, Shake Milton to be like, yeah, we shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah, I saw some national tweets that were like, who is Shake Milton?
Exactly.
And I was like, oh, you don't even know. He's coming for you.
Yeah, guess what? Keep your eyes on the bubble, and you'll find out who Shake is. I don't have, even listen to hockey players talk about it. I would feel awful about leaving my family, as any of these athletes have to leave their family.
Yeah.
I would feel awful about it. I would really struggle with the decision. And right now, if they said, if I was a set player that didn't have anything to prove or anything like that, I'd be, yeah, I'm not playing. See you later.
Yeah, I mean, heartbreaking pictures of guys hugging their kids goodbye, about to get on the plane yesterday. We saw the picture of Claude Giroux with his son in the pool and his wife posting, you know, last time they'll be able to do this for a couple of months. When kids are that small, it's tough, man. You're missing a whole big part of their life. And as I said yesterday, you're going to come home to a young person who is totally different than the one you left, and you're going to miss that transformation. It's tough. It's a shame.
I identify with that on a personal level.
Sure, that's why I bring it up, because you two are right there, and it hits home to you guys.
The first thought was, this is amazing, this is awesome. And then the second thought was, honestly, Bob, it was sports. And I was telling you before the show, yesterday I was in the kitchen, and my wife was holding our daughter, and she's about to be 11 months, little toots, Emanuela. And I'm just, like, fixing something for myself. And I looked down, and she had walked across the kitchen and was just standing there staring at me.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, wow. Like, this is what she does now. She just walks up to you if she wants you. And I was just like,
oh, get ready.
I was just like, oh, this is awesome. And then I was thinking about those athletes that have to be away from their families. And how about, you know what else? I also thought about the hospital workers that have been quarantined for weeks on end, some of them months on end, where they haven't been around their families. And they're just starting to get to see them now.
Yeah, I had a buddy who's a doctor in West Philly, and he had a new child around the time this all started, and he had to get an apartment and basically self-quarantine himself for 2 weeks. And I was like, damn.
Like, think about that.
Yeah.
Could you do
brand
that?
New child.
And that's what these guys are doing right now.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. And
yeah, Mike Trout and Zach Wheeler are the two names that come up a lot because their wives haven't delivered yet and they're close too. So if you go and play, there's a chance you either can't see your wife and children or child for a month, maybe longer. And yeah, it's a lot to unpack there.
We're going to go ahead and we're going to defend some athletes here. I know that's not a popular thing to
they
do.
They are human beings. Believe it or not. Breaking news.
No, once they make a couple of million, they're not human anymore.
What is the threshold of money when you don't become human?
I think now it's 5 million. It used to just be a million. If you made $1 million, you thought you were set for life.
So like Jeff Bezos is completely a cyborg.
Yeah, totally a cyborg, actually. He has flight powers as far as I know. You know what I mean? Like, that's the way people will look at it. So we're going to go ahead and maybe take the unpopular opinion, but opinion nonetheless, that maybe I'm going to defend Joel Embiid or Shake Milton or any other athlete that has reservations about going to play in a pandemic where you got to trust the league to take care of you. And from all accounts, Adam Silver is the most trusted man in sports now all of a sudden. You know, it might lose that trust faster than even a crack in the bubble. Continue with those plates of food that we saw served in the NBA bubble over the last couple of days.
Yeah, that didn't look. Although somebody had shrimp and steak yesterday.
It got better. It improved slightly.
You know what? If only that would have happened at that fire festival from years ago. You know what I'm saying? Maybe we could all go down and party. Maybe we could have done a show remote with like Emily Ratajkowski or something like that. Who's now blonde, by the way. But anyway,
is she really?
I digress. Instagram.
I'll be right back. Well, on her Instagram.
How do I know something on Instagram about a model and you don't?
I'm trying to check out more on my phone at night. With Skylar.
I don't even know you anymore.
So last night I had my phone away for like 3 hours, so I wasn't Instagramming.
Wow.
What? Yeah. I'm trying to turn a page. Look at... I want to have the phone out of my hands for at least 2 to 3 hours a night now. That's my goal.
Wow. Consecutively?
Yes. Like, I want to check out. I want to put it upstairs.
Off the grid.
Yeah.
7 to 10 p.m.
I'm thinking more like a 4 to 7 or a 3 to 6 type of deal.
Oh, because games are going on at night.
Yeah, in the distant
future. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to. Oh, that's good for you.
Yeah, that's my goal. 2022.0. That's my goal. My New Year's resolution.
Any of this a threat from the wife or?
No. Self reflection.
I would say there was probably some strong suggestions from the wife.
I suggested, nobody cares, but yeah, that's my goal.
There is something else we'll get into today. As I said, there's a lot to unpack. The list came out from the NFL executives of top quarterbacks in the NFL. Your boy, Carson Wentz, came in the top 10. Good. Thank you for not making me outraged, NFL executives. He came in at number 8 in that top 10. The list is as follows. Patrick Mahomes, duh. All right. it literally says that, like one NFL exec, duh. No. All right. Russell Wilson, number 2. Aaron Rodgers, number 3. Deshaun Watson, number 4. Drew Brees, number 5.
Why do you put Stank on that?
Okay. I'm sorry, did I say Drew Brees? Rag Arm at number 5. Yeah. Lamar Jackson, reigning MVP at number 6. And then Tom Brady at number 7. Carson Wentz at number 8. Dak Prescott at number 9.
Not awful.
Not awful.
I can pick and choose a couple arguments. Like Lamar Jackson, I need to see again. And
okay,
I understand the knocks on Wentz with the injury history. And, you know, Tom Brady, I thought, it was borderline bad last year, and we'll see what happens this year.
With this receiver,
more or less a fair ranking, I would say.
Deshaun Watson.
I think he's phenomenal.
I don't doubt that he is, but when you have two wide receivers like the ones he's been throwing to over the course of his career,
I can't go. Like, you did
not?
That with the coaches, too.
Yeah, right, I did.
He's not a great coach. He was attached to a Hall of Fame quarterback all the time. Well, you can be, and you can mess that up if you're not a good coach.
Sure.
Like, you have to be a good coach to get the most out of those type of people.
Uh-huh.
So I can't put stink on Deshaun Watson for having.
You don't believe in extrapolation?
No.
Really?
Yeah, like, no.
I'm a big fan of it.
Like, maybe those receivers are really good also because of him.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I also, they've been good with other players.
Yeah, I think he's a really good quarterback. Oh, I wouldn't put the...
Better than Carson Wentz?
I think I might take him right now ahead of Carson Wentz.
See,
yeah.
I wouldn't. Deshaun Watson versus Carson.
That's a fancy good argument.
Yeah, I was a little surprised that he was top four. Top four quarterbacks in the NFL, Deshaun Watson. And, like, look, again, I'm not a Deshaun Watson hater by any means.
Sure.
I've been to Houston, seen him play in person, and watch him make all the throws, as they say. Carson Wentz, to me, last year, proved just how damn good he is.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm not putting down Carson Wentz either. I you know how much I love Carson Wentz. Deshaun Watson has that Russell Wilson factor about him that when... Now, I have to be honest, the closest I watch him, obviously, is when the Eagles play them. And Deshaun Watson just has that, man, any play, he can kill you. Uh-huh. Any play, he can kill you. And it reminds me, and Jamie's a huge Russell Wilson fan. Don't similarities kind of jump out at you a little bit, Jamie, between those two?
Yeah, a little bit.
As far as playmaking ability?
Playmaking ability and always has the team in the game, which I think is a characteristic that Wentz has as well.
Yes.
Yeah. I think a great quarterback never is out of it.
And that's what NFL execs said about Carson Wentz.
Yeah, and I think he has that gene as well.
But the other thing they said about him was the fact that he has the ability not only to keep that play alive, no play is dead, every play can be extended, but also what he did last year to take a team to the playoffs when everyone around him was dropping like flies, That's the X factor. That's the it factor that you want in a quarterback. That you can look at a guy and say, I'm never out of it.
Yeah.
That's the ultimate thing. Like even watching like Peyton Manning, for instance, I remember watching the Super Bowl they lost to the Saints and thinking, how great is it that you can have a quarterback that you never feel like you're out of it?
Mm-hmm.
Even when you'd watch him lose in the playoffs, you'd feel like, hey, it could all come down to the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was Watson that was up on Mahomes 21-3 this past playoffs.
Yeah.
And I just went, I took the, because I ran to the sports book, I took the Chiefs money line, which wasn't even outrageous because of Patrick Mahomes, but I was like, yeah, they're not out of it. They have Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, Deshaun Watson got his one playoff win and then went blew, that lead got blown.
Yeah, but like, Mahomes. I was like, oh, down 17, not even a second thought that the Chiefs were going to come back and win that game.
Like, I would bump Carson Wentz ahead of Deshaun Watson, but I'm just surprised Deshaun Watson is number four because I wouldn't put Carson Wentz at number four.
Okay.
That's what kind of is odd to me about this list. Made the top 10. He made it ahead of Dak Prescott by one spot. So that's interesting. But nonetheless, still was ahead of Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
So it's not an outraged type of list.
No, I agree with Jimmy. If you're just going into this, you know, Brady does have weapons down there in Tampa, but if you're just looking.
Holy hell, does he ever.
Yeah. I do think he's, you know, washed up to Tom Brady is not a great. I don't think we're
for going, his standards.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see a lot of great things out of Tom Brady this year. That's just I think the last 2 years he's been declining pretty much.
All right, so we'll dissect that as the show goes on today. In a week where we've needed some comic relief, enter John Kruk. Did you see this story with John Kruk and his rib guy George in Kansas City?
No.
This story, it warms my heart. And it came from the same source that another story that actually made me go, okay, thank you. And it came from the same source, and that source is Chris Long. Again, one of my all-time favorite athletes ever. All right?
Yeah.
Just in terms of, like, enjoyed covering him, enjoyed watching him, and just thought all-around good dude. Chris Long came out and actually spoke out against what DeSean Jackson did and acknowledged how stupid it was. He wasn't like another former athlete, Steven Jackson, who was like, oh, no, he's speaking the truth. Like, this isn't the argument to get behind. This is not the side you want to be on here, especially after weeks, a month and a half even, of being like, hey, you know what's a great idea? Equality. And then DeSean Jackson just kind of, man, he removed the wrong Jenga piece and that came tumbling down. So Chris Long came out and spoke out against that. And I love that idea because I think a lot of athletes, I don't even know if they've realized yet how big a loss, how big an L this is for them when it comes to the stick to sports crowd. The stick to sports crowd had a huge victory this week thanks to DeSean Jackson. For the people that want to say, stay out of politics, stay out of politics, stay away from social issues. This was a big win for them because in weeks of, hey, stay woke, in weeks of educate yourself, like the dumbest possible comment attributed to the worst possible person inspired by a person that also people not a big fan of.
Yeah.
Like those three strikes, that lost a lot of people, including me, who went over the last couple of weeks, the last month and a half even, of, yeah, you know what? I need to do more, even personally, myself, for greater equality. It made people like me look at the whole situation and think to themselves, well, maybe sometimes people should stick to sports. Because when they do venture into avenues that they are not at all familiar with, like, for instance, when I don't know about something, especially something like a social issue, I do plead ignorance. I acknowledge it just so you know where it's coming from.
Sure.
Even more. I'm no expert on Louis Farrakhan.
Sure.
Like,
nothing wrong with that.
I'm not an expert on Adolf Hitler, but I know enough about him where I'm not going to attribute anything to him. You know? When people look at the DeSean Jackson thing, if they're in the crowd of always stick to sports, this week was a big win for him, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
And I know we have these discussions in all sports when it comes to, you need to run the ball more. Ben Simmons needs to shoot a three or whatever. Like, you have big wins in those different games, those different scenarios where you see players come out and actually do what you've been arguing for. Oh, there's a big win for me today. It can be said in the same realm, or in another realm, but in the same light, which is stick to sports. This was an example for people that love stuff, like just, waving the pom-poms and banging the drum for sticking to sports. This was a week where those people were right.
Yeah, to its core, I hate that. Shut up and dribble, whatever it may be. To its core, I hate it.
Oh, yeah.
But Anthony had a line when we were passing each other the other day when we were going out and he was coming in. He said, you know, sometimes that's a good line. Sometimes people should adhere to that, like shut up and dribble or shut up and play or whatever. And it was, you know, on this DeSean Jackson thing, and it's right. The reaction that it's gotten has grown. People are asking, why haven't the Eagles done anything? You know, I had a couple friends that I went to lunch with yesterday. We were talking about it, and they asked that question. I said, I think they're probably investigating. Like, I said yesterday, I think we kind of all agreed that there might be some hidden meaning here. He might have really meant to try to say something.
Mm-hmm.
So are the Eagles checking out? Like, is there something behind what he's saying or doing?
Uh-huh.
I don't know. But something has to happen, and there has to be some sort of penalty. And I don't think it can be light. And I know we related it to the Riley Cooper thing. Two wrongs don't make a right. Mm-hmm. There has to be some kind of a pretty good fine or something levied against him.
Oh, a suspension and a fine is definitely in order.
I would think a two-game... Marcus Hayes had a really good column today, and I agreed with him, and two-game suspension, I think is okay.
I might even go higher than two. I would be okay with as high as four. I just don't think cutting them accomplishes much.
I think it accomplishes accountability.
It sends the message to your team you can't say outrageous things.
Right. But then does somebody just swipe in and pick them up anyway?
Oh, totally.
Yeah, probably.
And there's a 12, and I hate to bring that in, but there's a $12 million cap hit that mm-hmm. you would just light on fire.
Right, so would it be bad business? And like, look, if you're willing to light the Nelson Aguilar money on fire because he just wasn't very good.
I mean, that's not my decision. That's Mr. Lurie's.
I get it. And here's the conclusion I came to yesterday, and this is the type of person I am, and maybe it's harsh of me. I tend to default to accountability before I tend to default to compassion. Like, that's kind of where I go.
Yeah.
I want people to be held accountable before I go, oh, you know what? Just let's read some books. Like, no, I don't. I'm like, no, accountability. Where the hell's that at? Do we have to hold him accountable as a public? Because we did. But when's the team actually do that? Hey, yeah. They're still evaluating, though. So I'm not going to jump to a conclusion and say the Eagles are doing nothing. But I feel like a lot of society is getting away from the accountability thing and getting to the, oh, you know, we just need to get him some help. And that's always a distant second to me. 610-632-0975. When we come back, we'll jump more into this quarterback list. Also get into the Kedrick Perkins talk a little bit more. And what exactly Chris Long did have to say about DeSean Jackson. All that more coming up. Oh, 9 o'clock today, we'll talk to Mike Kay of NJ.com, who wrote a great piece on DeSean Jackson. We'll get to that because he talked about it from a football reporter standpoint as well as a Jewish man standpoint. We'll get to that in a second here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, that's, you know, the education we get at breaks is always what is always what's a nice item. All right, we led by talking about Kedrick Perkins and the, I don't know, Jamie, you're the official shame king. is this a corona shaming? Bubble shaming?
It sure seems like it.
Bubble shaming? Like,
COVID shaming.
COVID shaming. Okay.
Yeah.
That's what Kedrick Perkins did yesterday on First Take. He's on there with Stephen A. Smith. and he decided that his target was going to be Joel Embiid. And we have, as we said in the open, we've attacked Joel Embiid for lack of motivation, not being in shape at the start of a season, having to play his way into shape a little too often for our liking, and also, like I said, motivation to learning how to flip that switch. So Kendrick Perkins decided to go the other avenue when they were talking about the NBA bubble and how it relates to Joel Embiid. And Joel Embiid saying, you know what, maybe this isn't the best idea. I'll go, but I don't feel great about it. Here's Kendrick Perkins on JoJo.
Look, do you want to hoop or not? I don't hear none of the other contenders complaining. I don't hear Evan complaining. He's saying take ball. I don't hear LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard complaining. I don't hear Jason Tatum and Giannis complaining. And all they talking about is how they going to try to defend their championship. I don't see them complaining. By the way, they got a tournament that's going on right now, TBT tournament in Cleveland, Ohio. And I'm pretty sure those guys are not going to be in a billion-dollar bubble, or they not in a great situation. They not complaining. They down there hooping. So I don't want to hear all that. To me, this is just an excuse. Get knocked out, this is going to be an excuse because their superstar was halfway in. His mental wasn't there. Oh, I'm complaining. I don't know. I don't like the idea. Man, go down there and hoop. I ain't trying to hear that, man. That's a billion-dollar bubble. Take ball like Patrick Beverly say. Take it up.
I don't invoke LeBron James's name and Joel Embiid's name in the same sentence. And LeBron James, just for the record, is the guy that was originally like, well, we ain't playing if we don't have fans. And what's he doing in a couple of weeks?
Right.
Is he going to be in Orlando? Is he going to be playing? And by the way, is Cleveland, is Ohio having the same rate as Florida, by the way, in coronavirus by chance? No. So what the hell is he even talking about?
And he's not complaining.
No.
I mean, Joel Embiid was asked about his concerns, and he said, yeah, I'm concerned. Like, it's scary. I'm going to go in there and do what I have to do, but I don't know if others will do it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's what took Perkins over the edge. Oh, you're calling out other people. You're already getting on that snitch line or whatever it may be. I don't know what it is. Perkins sounds like a guy that's pissed that he's not still in the league, obviously, or that he had a career that averaged 5 points and five rebounds. I don't know. But I don't get jumping at Embiid on this. We said the other day, I mean, you know, if we have to be totally honest here, we said, oh yeah, it does sound like he's building some excuses here, and let's hope to God it doesn't come to fruition that they get bounced. And he says, see, I didn't like it to begin with.
Right.
You know, we said that we didn't love what he said. We were hoping he would say, okay, we got to go down there and let's win championships. Let's go.
Right.
All right, we didn't get that. But I'm not gonna bash him for being concerned.
That's the thing. And I never would, and we certainly weren't doing that. And to hear an ex-NBA player come out, who won a championship, by the way, with that Celtics team with Kevin Garnett and 08 and all that, like, and Paul Pierce, obviously, and Ray Allen. But I'm not the guy to shame someone into playing during a pandemic. Like, I've told you personally, if I had any athletic ability, I would be the guy being like, I don't know if this is a good idea, guys. And I most likely wouldn't play, especially in the state of my life that I'm in now with a young kid at home. I don't know if I could leave that. I doubt I could. And you want to shame somebody into, oh, well, other guys in the league aren't talking about it. No, like, hell, they're not. They are absolutely talking about it. It might not be LeBron James, who, again, originally said he wouldn't play games without fans, and now he's reporting to Orlando. And has, by the way, changed his tune on this whole saga as well. I don't shame Joel Embiid even a little bit for having hesitation about going to play in a bubble, which, by the way, you talk about a billion-dollar bubble, $150 million, just off by a little bit there. So, whatever.
Maybe he's throwing in the salaries of the players, too, or something like that, and adding them all up. Who knows where you're coming up with.
And also, Jason Tatum has expressed, like, it's not great, but, you know, we're going to go to work, too. Did you see how Joel got back at him in his perfect Joel Embiid way?
I didn't see Joel Embiid's response. What'd he say?
It wasn't a response. It's typical Joel social media subtle trolling.
What'd he do?
There was a video that got circulated after these stupid comments were made. It said, people forget how good prime Kendrick Perkins was. And it was like a 3-minute high.
Oh, I saw that.
Low light video?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like
Joel Embiid was behind that?
No.
Oh.
But Joel Embiid liked it.
Oh, he did? Okay.
Knowing that somebody would catch that.
Oh, it was hysterical.
I gave a glance at his Instagram. I didn't see anything.
It was Twitter. He liked the video that went kind of viral.
Oh, yeah. It was like Perkins throwing passes, like trying to throw a no-look pass, goes out of it. He tried to throw behind the back pass to a teammate. Instead, he threw it to Kobe Bryant. It was pretty funny.
So Joel Embiid handled it just fine.
Yeah.
He's the best.
I would have preferred him just being like, you play like ass, man. Like, I would have loved more of Joel Embiid to go that route. But I don't think anyone should be going down. I feel like that's such low-hanging fruit to go the to take the attitude of, oh, these guys need to be men, and they need to go down to Orlando, they need to play and shut up about it. I just feel like that's treating the people that are going to play as if they're those superhuman people.
Yeah.
As if they are somehow above catching coronavirus. And also, by the way, above getting it and transferring it to somebody else. Passing it on to somebody else that they do care about. Yeah, I'm not going to go. I think that's, first off, I think that's low class. And that's not the route I think anyone on this show or no one's going to go.
And look, 99% of athletes are that. Let's go. You know, here we go. Let's go win. Let's go play. All of that stuff, you know, that's how we were brought up. You know, you got a notch in your belt when I was playing to take a charge from a 6'10 guy, you know, and get up off the floor and laugh about it. Like, you're taught toughness, but this is unprecedented, and this isn't sports toughness the way you're taught growing up.
Yeah, Kenny in the Northeast, I think, is where we're all at right now. Kenny, you ready for some live sports action?
Yo, man, you know I am, and I'm telling you right now, if we get into at least to the finals, I'm telling you, the couple games and just get right into the playoffs. Yo, I got the Sixers getting busy. Seriously. Y'all sleeping on Joel if you want. Let Perkins, whatever. He got a ring riding coattails.
Yes, we agree.
I'm going to get to something real deep. And how, sometimes it's not what you say, it's how you say it. We got an urban, like in an urban area, we talk about what Deshaun said. And we say, yo, if you want to talk about something that was horrific that we went through, was the Holocaust. But the problem we have is, how did they bounce back so quickly like that? They lost their land, got it back, plus some. You go to Jewelers Row, every jeweler is Jewish. Like, but we're still getting anything you want to think about horrific happening to us, is still happening. So, like, it's not hate, but we talk about that as we come up, like, we don't understand how one side got taken care of by America, but we didn't.
Well, I mean, look, again, I don't want to compare. Dave Chappelle used to do a bit on comparing the two, and he called it our favorite game. Who suffered more? And I'm like, that's not a game I play. And
no doubt.
Like, Kenny,
no doubt.
I will say this, though. 400 years in the United States, slaves, right? You know what? 350 years. Versus the Holocaust from, what, 1933 to 1947, 48? I don't know, man.
It's not about... Both of them were horrific.
No, I understand that. But like, I'm saying one was 400 years, the other was... that's 15?
But I'm saying the way I just said it to you, it didn't come off racist. It didn't come off nothing. It was just the way he said it. I don't know what the hell he's throwing Adolf Hitler in that for. Like, you just saying Adolf Hitler is you messed up.
Yeah.
You know you stepped in some doo-doo.
That's right, Kenny. Thank you for the call, man. I appreciate it. Yeah, and I don't think I'm someone that should be answering that question. I'm going to do my best. If you ask me a question on this show, I'm going to try to not skirt anything. I can only tell you what makes sense to me, and none of it makes sense, to be honest with you. Because what you're doing is you're comparing to atrocities that have taken place courtesy of humanity, and there was no humanity in either of those things.
And too much of it still goes on.
Exactly. And that's where I thought we were all kind of moving towards. I thought we were all moving towards that idea of equality for everybody.
We're trying.
And to go back to that conversation that we started in the open of the show, I don't know how people look at sports often. And I don't think they look at it with the idea of, hey, let me see what athletes are saying about social change. But anybody of status, anybody of a public any public figure is the way to put it. Any public figure, just as any average Joe, has the right to put their business out there if they want to. I'm not going to shame somebody into that either of saying, oh, no, you can't have free speech because you're no longer just an American citizen. You're a celebrity.
Yeah.
You're an athlete. You're an actor. They're just like everybody else in that they're all citizens of the world. And if they have something they want to say, whether it's politics or social issues, whatever it might be, by all means, go ahead and say it. Like, I don't like when people say to me, hey, stick to sports. And it's like, oh, so I just do this one thing and that's it. Like, entertain me, clown, basically, is the way it goes. And I get that's where a lot of people think of these athletes. They think of us in the same light in terms of public figures. But it's like, I know I'm just a character in your life to most people. Like, when people come at you on Twitter, and I'll have family members that follow me on Twitter, and they're like, did you see what this guy said to you on Twitter? And I'm like, no. And they're like, oh, he called you a piece of, you know, crap or whatever. And I'm like, okay. Yeah. It's like, I'm not real to that person. I'm just someone that talks into a microphone. I'm a character in their life that they choose to invite in and out.
Sure. And I have plenty of examples of that, of people in my old days sending me emails, you know, you suck, you, what, I don't know. And like getting personal, you know, you're an ass. And I said, well, come to a game and talk to me. Like, right. Come talk to, and like, you know, 9 times out of 10, if you take the time and talk or whatever, they'll walk away by saying, okay, we disagree, but you're not an ass. You're just a guy that has an opinion that isn't the same as mine. Like, and it's the same thing about, you know, like I told you that I wrote that story about Evan Turner. Like, people would be in the stands saying, yeah, you can yell at him as a basketball player. Yeah, he was a huge disappointment as a number 2 pick. He's a great guy. You go sit in a locker room of an NBA locker room, which I did so many times, or anywhere else, NFL, NHL, and sit and talk to guys. And you'd be amazed at how smart some guys are. You know, like, you don't know. The week that 9/11 happened, the Flyers tried to play an exhibition game against the Rangers.
Oh, yeah, yep.
Fights galore first 2 periods. And then Bush came on and did a national
address.
Yeah. And the game, they stopped the game. Mm. Players shaking. I went to the locker room. Rick Tocchet and I sat and talked for a half hour. So much deep about all of this, how it affected him. And just that, literally at one point I said, oh my God, I got to go. I got to write a story. Like, I lost track of time. Sit and talk. It's unfortunate. Fans, the people that you put down and you say personal things about, you've never had the opportunity to get personal with them. So that's why that's that fine line that I just don't think can be crossed.
That's a wild thing you just brought up. Like, of all the games that I haven't been at, like no hitters, perfect games, like you wish you could be at. One of the games I really wished I was at was that preseason hockey game between the Flyers and the Rangers.
Yeah, I often get asked by people, you know, what's one game that you,
right,
you know, or moment or whatever, and that was it. Like, that was chilling to watch these two teams. I'm not kidding. There had to be 10 fights in the first 2 periods. Mm-hmm. In an exhibition game, fights galore. Then between the second and third period, Bush comes on, they put it on the Jumbotron, the teams come out, they sit on the boards and watch it. And the place was just silent. And Ed Snyder said, no, this game's over. The two teams lined up, shook hands after just beating the crap out of each other. Shook hands, game over.
Standing ovation, no?
Oh, it was incredible.
Yeah.
It was. I'm still talking about it. The hair rises on my arms. It was incredible. And going into that locker room, and I talked to other players, but Tocchet and I just sat down. Tocchet had just had a kid, I believe. And he's talking to me, and I had young kids, and I was like, yeah. He said, what'd you do? I said, I went to their schools and grabbed them. I did. That's what I did.
Wow.
I said, it was reactive, but, you know, Kyle was in a little thing, and it was a crazy, crazy time. And it hit you that these guys are people, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, as you said, Mark, them being able to have their social consciousness and maybe sometimes expressing it, we have to accept that because they are people, too. They're not these robotic figures that just go out and play sports.
And as great as that was, and as much as those players on the ice that night had their finger on the pulse of how everyone was feeling,
right.
For instance, there shouldn't be a third period. Like,
yeah.
This is, we just watched this. No one's in a mood to either play or watch hockey. And it was done. And from the way I was told, because again, I wasn't at the game,
yeah.
was that there was a standing ovation and everybody left.
Standing ovation, players, like I said, they got together. They shook hands like it was the end of a game seven or the end of a playoff series. Shook hands, looked up in the stands, banged their sticks on the ice and waved, like basically saying, you know, we are one. It was really, really a great moment.
And that's an example of players having their fingers on the pulse of everyone, basically, at the right time. And that's not exactly just stick to sports. That's a great example of not just literally leaving sports because of politics.
Right.
Like, and everyone was like, yeah, we're fine with this. DeSean Jackson was the opposite of that. All this great momentum. And I heard Michael Wilbon talk about this yesterday as well. And he was saying how it kind of derailed everything that you had been working for social change and equality. And DeSean Jackson comes out with this. Steven Jackson comes out and supports it and then later apologizes, kind of. Like, that really did, I agree with Michael Wilbon, really derail the movement that you were trying to champion, which was ultimately equality. Now, as we know, the Eagles are still evaluating the situation. If I had to guess what's going to happen, there's probably going to be a 2-game suspension and a fine. That's probably the route that's going to happen. If it was me, after all we have gone through, and I'm in the room with Jeffrey Lurie, hey, Jeff, Howie, you know, Hitler, so indefensible. I wouldn't go, and this is what I ended the last segment with. I default more so to accountability than I do compassion.
Right. Yeah.
And if you want to go the route of accountability as a suspension, that's what they choose to do as an organization. But literally, what's the worst thing a player could have done? Post, say anything on social media. And it's what DeSean Jackson did. It's citing Adolf Hitler. It's citing Louis Farrakhan. And it's also putting it out there in writing where you had multiple opportunities to either delete it or try to clarify it. and you did nothing to do that.
Yeah, he kept that up way too long.
People say it's been deleted. It hasn't been deleted.
Like, well, it was a story
so it goes away.
It disappears after 24 hours.
So what, do we give him credit for not saving it to his to timeline? Like, you can do that on Instagram where you can save your story?
I do that with Skylar, so I have, like, a compilation of videos.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, that was up for entirely too long.
Like, again, if you're asking me what I think happens, 2-game suspension and a fine. I think that's what ultimately ends up happening. But in light of everything that we've gone through over the last month and a half, for this to happen now, for the person that inspired him to do it, and then the person that he cited, even though it was fake, and then have multiple opportunities to either take it down or further clarify it.
Yeah.
Like there's no, again, take DeSean Jackson's name off of it. If it's anybody else of a lower status, I guess, they're gone. Like, we're not even having a conversation. We're like, oh yeah, remember that guy that the Eagle signed that one time and he was here for a week? See you later. Like, that's how it would go, unfortunately.
Yeah, they bring in Michael Vick after he did his time, right?
Exactly.
He did jail time. And he came here and people were you know, not happy at all. We know the protests that were out there. But Michael Vick even did more and went out into the community and was honest, was upfront, said, I was wrong, and went out into the community and made people, those protests didn't last a very long time, right? So he did his time. He did what he was supposed to do. The Eagles were satisfied. That moved on in a pretty good way. The Riley Cooper didn't, because they didn't penalize him. You know, they sent him away for a couple of days. They fined him a little bit. Yeah. Like, come on, that was nothing. He should have been, you know, if you would have set the precedent that he's gone after saying that, I don't think at the time any of us would have had a problem with it at all.
Well, I do remember being at the link, and Jerry Mondesire was there, who was, I believe, the NAACP.
Yep.
And he was there for, like, to protect against the protests. And I remember there was, like, one small or maybe two small protests. It wasn't a big deal.
Yeah, I remember walking in, yeah.
And I'll never forget, I know I've said this a lot on the air before, standing ovation. Michael Vick goes in for like the second play of the game. Standing ovation. Like, it wasn't like a mixed response, even though I had, you know, seen a lot of people put out their anger, right? There wasn't a lot of that at the stadium itself. So it shows that people can move on from things. And look, he did serve his time, and that definitely went to his benefit.
And he was contrite, yeah.
Extremely contrite. And for a long time, there was no point. There was no point with Michael Vick where there was like, I'm done, guys. I did my time. I'm not answering questions about this anymore. And I do remember the first press conference he had, or media session he had at his locker, where he was just asked football questions. And I remember asking him at the end of it, I was like, I said, this is the first time I believe you've only been asked football questions. What's it like to get back to that? And you know what he did? He went back to self-inflicted wounds. He said, what I did to myself is basically took account. He held himself accountable for everything.
Yeah, he did it. He did it the right way.
Now, this is similar to that story in terms of public outcry, but it's not similar in terms of the consequences of the story. All right. So that's where a lot of people are looking. That's what a lot of people are looking at right now with DeSean Jackson, and they're waiting to see what the Eagles end up doing. The vast majority of almost every Twitter poll I've seen about, and we did one yesterday, it was like 75% don't release him. Vast majority of people are moving on from it. They're getting past it. I find it very odd, and I think it's very odd that people default to the compassion before they do accountability. I remember growing up, usually it was accountability before compassion. Now we're
God, there was little compassion. There wasn't participation trophies. I go back a little further than you. Yeah, no.
It's similar to, okay, yeah.
Right? Yeah.
And it seems like it's something that people are starting to push aside. One, I gave credit to Jason Avant yesterday for at least saying that DeSean knows what he did was wrong. I find it interesting that behind the scenes, Steven Jackson did let it be known that DeSean said they threatened to fire me. Okay. That makes me question how sincere everything else is, mm-hmm. if now you realize that your job was on the line. And then at the same time, I think about what Jason Avant said, what Steven Jackson did say, and then what Chris Long came out and said yesterday, which was basically condemning it.
Yeah.
And you didn't see enough athletes do that same thing after this big push for social change and equality. That's what really rubs me the wrong way, and that's why I say for all the people that want people to only stick to sports, this was a big win for you, because you had somebody go out, say something that carried so much weight that could not have been more tone deaf. And just, quite frankly, stupid.
I've only seen, to my knowledge, and there may be more that I'm missing, Zach Banner from the Steelers came out with a, you know, what the hell was he thinking, saying this type of thing. Who's a black
guy? Mitchell Schwartz.
Yeah,
he came out with a great, great statement.
He's a phenomenal player, too.
Yeah, he is.
He's an all-pro offensive lineman guard down there. Those are the only two guys, you know, outside of Chris Long, who's now retired, that I've really seen come out in any way in support of the Jewish community and you know, anti-Deshaun Jackson, which is kind of amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mitchell Schwartz did it in such a great way. He never even mentioned Deshaun Jackson's name. And it wasn't like, how the hell you could do it. It was like, look, during these times, we all have to get better.
Yeah,
and
like we got to learn from each other.
It was really well thought out. It's like two paragraphs. I thought it was, I read it this morning when I got up, and I thought it was phenomenal.
All right, we're going to continue this conversation, as you would assume. We're going to jump back into the quarterback conversation. Carson Wentz comes in ranked at number 8 in the NFL by NFL executives. Now, some of the things that were said about Carson Wentz were just great. I mean, it's all what we already know here in Philadelphia, including that he could take a team on his back and take them to the playoffs like he did last year, with people dropping like flies around him with injuries and also having inconsistent wide receivers and not getting a lot of help from his front office either. It was pretty wild. And also consider the fact that he did that and the offensive coordinator was fired at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't even with a guy that could help him the most in that position. And I understand that Doug's calling the plays and all that. You still like to have help wherever you can get it. And the guy that was supposed to help him, not very helpful,
yeah,
evidently.
And, you know me. I don't get emotionally too much attached to things. I kind of try to take that analysis look. But it still hurts me. Watching what Carson did in those last four games last year, and I saw some highlights of him just the other day, and then being at that playoff game and sitting there and not seeing him come out and saying, what the hell happened?
Right.
You know, like, that's, I wanted to see so bad what he could have done in his first playoff game.
Yeah, we all share that with you. We'll also let you hear from Chris Long a little bit later in the show. And John Kruk told a story to Chris Long that was, I think, exactly the type of story we needed from John Kruk. Also, speaking of baseball, Bryce Harper was probably the loudest person other than the crack, probably the loudest thing at Citizens Bank Park other than the crack of JT Realmuto's bat. We'll get to all that and more coming up in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey guys, Bob Cooney here, and UFC 251 is coming up. That's right, and there's no better place to bet the action than on FanDuel Sportsbook. FanDuel Sportsbook, in partnership with Valley Forge, is America's number one sports betting site for a reason. They've got a simple, intuitive app that makes it easy to find the bet you're looking for and then lock it in. But lately, the thing I love most about FanDuel Sportsbook is the promos. They're always dropping new promotions to give fans an extra edge, and this upcoming fight is no exception. Right now, FanDuel is giving new users exclusive 25-1 odds on any fighter to win their title fight on UFC 251. That means you can pick any one fighter in Masvidal versus Usman, Volkanovski versus Holloway, or Aldo versus Jan, then bet just $5 for a chance to win $125. And unlike other sports book, once you win, FanDuel gets you your cash in as little as 24 hours. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. But right now, the right thing for you to do is to create your free FanDuel Sportsbook and check out their fantastic app for yourself. Just be sure to go to FanDuel.com/Bob to claim your exclusive 25-1 odds on any fighter to win their title fight on UFC 251. Remember, that's FanDuel.com/Bob.
97.5 The Fanatic.
A little lighthearted story, a chuckle, if you will. I believe it was John Kruk that went on the podcast, with the Greenlight podcast with Chris Long, and he told a phenomenal story about his rib guy in Kansas City, George. Did you see this at all?
I did not.
So basically,
I like the sound of George already, though.
Okay.
I wish I had a rib
Everybody
guy.
Needs a rib guy.
Oh, yeah. I had a rib guy for a small
time
for a little bit. Now my brother-in-law is my rib guy because he just puts everything on the smoker.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
You got a pork guy though now. Or no, a veal guy now.
I got a veal guy.
You got a veal guy.
Down South Philly. And I still have to stop by there, man, because I still need to make the authentic meatball. I haven't made the authentic meatball. Like, I made one batch of meatballs in quarantine.
No, wait a minute. Am I allowed to try your meatball?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Everyone's welcome at my table, Bob.
I just get confused.
Will you betray your family, ancestors, if you have my meatball?
No.
No, of course not.
Your meatball thing is like, it's like me,
but it's not
drinking Peel's beer because my dad drank Peel's for a while, or Schaefer, or Schlitz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.